When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome in. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here, along with our guy, Kurt Hoag, beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers the Milwaukee Brewers, hanging out here in the Bears sunroom as we're raising money. Cash donations here on site. You can donate cash. You bring brand new toys. If you don't have a toy and you're in the area of Oak Creek, go inside, man. They have Toyland inside Blaze Farm and Fleet. Ton and ton of toys to go in there and donate. We got a guy, Jim, in Milwaukee, who drove down from Milwaukee earlier today, opened up his SUV. My guy Robert Jarzin here is like, hey, dude, I think these are toy donations. Open them up, and he's just bringing bag after bag after bag of toys out and dropping them off, and drove down from Milwaukee. And he said, I used to come every year back in the day before COVID, and then obviously COVID happened, and we couldn't be here, so we came up with different things to do in the station and so forth. So he's like, I'm excited. I can start doing this every year again. So you can be just like him. No matter where you're at, come on down, drop them off. We're here every day, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., all the way through Friday. We have our food truck that comes out here from 4 to 6 during the week as well. That's King's Catering out of Oak Creek. Last night they had tacos and nachos. They had chicken, they had beef, they had pork. It was delicious, Kurt Hoag. Mm. Today, I was told, brisket and pulled pork are the sandwiches today.
Oh, yes.
Get ready. Get ready. So that's going to be fun. They're out here 4 to 6. All proceeds from that food truck will go. They donated all the food. So every dollar they bring in will go right to the toy drive to Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. All right, Kurt Hoag.
Hello.
I would like to start with not the Brewers, but with something I've been arguing about for the last 2 days on the airwaves here. Not sure if you've been listening. This whole new golden bat rule that they're talking about possibly instituting. He's already laughing and rolling his eyes. I haven't even said anything, Charlie, and already I'm getting the look.
I guess you're still the only one on your mountain over there, man.
I don't even know if he knows what mountain I'm on, but I'll tell him. Dude, I love it, man. Give me. I mean, we had Brian Anderson on yesterday. And by the way, if you missed that interview, it was so, so good. Go back, listen to it, thefanmilwaukee.com. And I told Charlie, I was like, I'm going to bring it up to him. Charlie's like, oh, he'll probably like it. I'm like, no, he's not. He's going to absolutely hate it. And he absolutely hated it, obviously. But I was like, BA, I said, Jackson Chourio, oh, bases loaded. Poop, tie game on a grand slam. Jackson Chourio going back. Get your back up there again. Boop, home run to win it, walk off. And you're telling me that won't be all over sports radio in this town for the next 24 hours? Yes. You're telling me those highlights and everything that happened won't be all over ESPN? They won't be talking about it on Fox. Everybody would be talking about it. You will generate more buzz. You will have more big moments. All of that stuff that comes from this is the drama, the added electricity in the stadium. I'm going to use my golden bat in the seventh. Oh, no, I should have waited to the ninth, and now I don't have it, and now I'm screwed. The strategy that goes along with it, man, I don't know how serious they are. I'm just saying, Kurt Hoag, I love it.
I really hope they're not serious about it.
Come on, you better bring something. What do you got?
If you want to generate, if it's all about generating buzz for a sport, just trot them out there and speak. That'll be on.
Why do you all that argue with me have to go so dramatic and so over the top?
If your argument for the golden at bat is the drama, the buzz it'll generate around the sport,
strategy,
no doubt, a Jackson Churio back to back home run by himself would generate. It'd be great for my job
or Ohtani or anybody.
But it's not. It's not. It fundamentally is not baseball. And also, there's another side of it.
Yes, it is. They're not underhand pitching the ball for the golden at bat. No. They still have to get the guy out. They're still throwing 90-some miles an hour, 100-some miles an hour. Like, the at bat is still the same at bat as it would be. It's just one guy getting an additional at bat. It's not changing anything.
Even when I played T-ball.
Oh, see, now, yeah, you're sounding old.
Everyone gets an at-bat, and then it goes to the next person.
Right.
And then you just go in the order. And there's another part of this, too, that I don't think is being talked about. Like, the strategy, I think it completely puts a – it just throws a sucker punch to strategy. Okay, I bring in my lefty. They've got a couple lefties lined
That's
up here.
Right.
I bring in my lefty. Oh! Congrats! Here's Aaron
Judge. Absolutely.
That's not.
Yes,
that's not
exactly.
Baseball.
That's perfect.
Like, it's like
you're making my argument for me. That's exactly correct.
I feel like this is like WWE style promotions to the game.
Okay, how old are you?
I am 29, Sparky.
So you're still in your 20s. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you had made 30 yet.
Almost. We're almost there.
So, I'm
getting great.
My producer literally graduated college last year, so he's younger than you. Okay. So a lot of my stuff, I go to him because I'm the old guy on the station. So I always go to him and ask him about things.
Oh, I'm not young at heart. No.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
I'm an old man.
My senior in high school and Charlie, a lot of the same stuff in common, do a lot of the same stuff. Okay. You go to a baseball game. You go to a basketball game. You go to a football game, Admirals hockey game, soccer, whatever. Man, how many teenagers and 20-somethings are not on their phone the entire game looking at stuff? Not to mention the fact, most of these kids in high school and stuff, like all of his friends, they don't even watch whole games anymore. They're looking at TikTok highlights and whatever else. Like, they don't have time to sit down and watch 2 or 3 hours or whatever. The commissioner of every sport's job right now is, how do I figure out how to get that generation to watch the TV or watch the streaming? Because you know what? If that generation right now does not change, you can kiss your streaming and your TV numbers goodbye, because when they get to be my age in the 40s and 50s, if they don't have those kids and they don't figure out how to get them to grow with their sports, it's going to be toodles to all that money they're getting, because all us old people are still watching full games and doing all that other stuff. So they've got to figure out, how do I get them more entrenched into what we do? And in football, it's add offense. In the NBA, it's add offense. In baseball, it's add more excitement. Let's make the bases bigger. Let's get steals. Let's shorten the game times. Let's do the pitching clock. BA yesterday said, Sparky, if we're going to get all crazy and willy-nilly and just throw random crap against the wall, then he goes, I want 7-inning games, because that'll make the starting pitcher more valuable and so forth. So he took it to that level and said, let's do 7-inning games.
I want 7-inning games because then I get home faster.
See, but see, this is what I want. You get to cover the Milwaukee Brewers, man. Do you know how many people would die to cover the Milwaukee Brewers that are listening to you right now? I'll do it.
I hope no one will die.
Literal. Good Lord Almighty. You know what I'm talking about, man. A lot of people would love to do what you're doing right now.
Until they implement the golden at bat, and then everyone say, I don't want to do that anymore. That idea is so bad.
Imagine being the Dodgers. You have Ohtani,
exactly.
Betts, Freeman.
Oh, like, yes.
Right?
An idea that gives Shohei Ohtani another 160 at bats.
But
it's competitively not fair.
What if he picks Mookie Betts? What if he picks Freddie Freeman? What does everybody else think of that? The Brewers, Braun and Fielder, who you pick? Who you want in that situation? Who's going to use that at bat?
Well,
uh-huh.
We could really get into this, but if you're going to have a three-batter minimum,
No, that has to change.
Then you have to be able to, the other team needs to be able to counter.
Yes, I agree. Yes, that would have to change in order to do this.
Ultimately, I think this idea is not going to happen, so.
That's what they said about the pitch clock and the bigger bases and all that other stuff. It all came through. But I don't know. Either way, it's a lot of fun to talk to because nobody agrees with me, so I'm fine with it. let's talk more about the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to have Matt Arnold out here for a half hour from 3 to 3:30 on Friday. I'm looking forward to talking to him. Your thoughts on where we are with this Brewers roster right now, currently, and going into next year. I argue, obviously, they have to replace Adames' power numbers. That has to be done, however they do it. But starting rotation-wise, if Brandon Woodruff is close to Brandon Woodruff, that rotation next year is going to be way better to start the year than it was this year.
Yeah, that's still the biggest question on the roster for me, and one that's difficult to address as well. If you look around the league and you see the price, the sticker price on starting pitching right now, it's not easy to acquire via trade. It costs a lot in free agency, and it's just a difficult spot for the Brewers to add when they've got some guys like on the 40-man, like on the fringes of the roster. But with Robert Gasser hurt, and you don't want to, you know, you don't know how much you can expect from a 21, 22-year-old who hasn't pitched in the big leagues before. Like, there are certainly questions abounding about this rotation. A lot, like you mentioned, Brandon Woodruff. That is kind of that's the crux of this whole rotation. If he looks like Brandon Woodruff,
because then you have a true one.
Then you have a true one, and then you've got Freddie Peralta, who all of a sudden you bump him down a slot. Yep. If you assume, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get from him, and that's pretty good pitching. And it suddenly looks a lot better. And then the Brewers typically work their magic, as they do, and find various ways to make guys better than they have been elsewhere.
I mean, they made better. Tobias Myers, the season Tobias he put together. Myers, can he do that again next year? Yep.
But then you just have no clue until you see it how that shoulder injury, that shoulder surgery that Woodruff underwent, how that's going to impact him. It's a similar procedure, but not the same as the one Aaron Ashby underwent. And we saw that take 18 months
at least.
16, 17 months. And then a switch to the bullpen is what it really took to get him going. So, like, it's physical. It's also, there's some mental side to it, like letting that thing go like you're used to, getting your body in sync. So, yeah, that's, like, question number one or thing number one to watch in spring training, which feels like still months from now.
I can't wait.
But how does Brandon Woodruff look?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm ready. It can start tomorrow. I'm ready. I have not been this excited for Brewers baseball as I was last year in quite some time. Like, all the youth, knowing the window is gigantic, knowing you have Churio. I love Brock Wilkin, so he's a couple years away. Hopefully he gets back to where he was before he got nailed in the face. So that's a power corner guy hopefully coming. This Made kid apparently is going to be all that in a bag of chips if he hits in the States when he gets over here this year. So there's a lot of good stuff to talk about from that perspective. Can we talk about Devin Williams now?
Sure.
I'm good if they trade him. I'm fine.
Why is that?
If you trade him and you get back that power corner infielder in return, then I'm good. If I trade him and I get back for a pitching, I'm not good. But if it's for a power bat that can solidify third or first for the foreseeable future, some young guy that's blocked in their organization or whatever the case may be, then I'm good to do it. Why is that? For what you just said earlier, which is, they seemingly fix everybody they touch. I mean, McGill had to go in there and play and was unbelievable. That was supposed to be Pyon's job. And McGill took it and said, I got it, and rolled with it. Now, can he do that another year? I don't know. But from that perspective, I just have a lot of faith in Chris Hook and this pitching staff where I don't feel like we need to go down this road of losing him for nothing after another full season because they're not trading him at the deadline if they're in a playoff race, which I fully expect them to be. So if he's not gone by opening day, unless something goes completely wrong in the season and they stink, he's going to be on this team all the way through.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a dance right now. I think you illustrated that pretty well, where the Brewers' strength of their team, in addition to their defense, and these two kind of go hand in hand, is the bullpen.
Yeah.
They could be going into the year with like three or four guys that we know about, and I would still say, yeah, the bullpen's going to be pretty good. But there's about 8 or 9 or 10 guys. Like, if you rank the bullpen spots right now, I don't even know where you put Abner Uribe. That's how locked and loaded they are on that side of the on that side of the pitching staff. And who knows if Aaron Ashby or Dale Hall's in the bullpen
right.
would make it even better. Although they seem to want to try them at starter. So without Devin Williams, still probably a strength of the team, maybe the strength. You've got your closer, Trevor McGill. Proved that he can do that last year. And
you've got Yoho that might be here in that bullpen.
Jacob Mizorowski might be a bullpen guy. They're going to try him as a starter.
That's 100-plus coming out of the bullpen.
Potential bullpen guy there. So it's just a really, really deep unit. And if you just look at it that way, yeah, sure, they're going to trade Devin Williams. But the more you look into it and you see how the free agent market is shaping up with lots and lots and lots of relievers, maybe not necessarily like on Devin Williams' established closer level, but a lot of really good relievers, and the teams that are more likely than not going to be paying the premium in a trade to get a guy like Devin Williams, well, maybe those are just the teams that are going to pay the premium to buy a free agent. Like Aroldis Chapman got, what, $10
million
from the Red Sox? The Red Sox could have traded for Devin Williams. Like the Yankees could trade for Devin Williams.
Could.
That would make a lot of sense.
Well, yeah. Philly is the one that I want.
Alec Bohm,
and Devin Williams. That just seems like an easy match.
A strength for strength trade. Yeah, there's a couple teams with like a little bit of extra depth on their infield. The Phillies are one. The Diamondbacks are another one. The Yankees don't have like extra depth on the infield, but they're definitely the team that like you could see them looking at their roster and going, we need that star closer. So that's one that pops on my mind. Who knows? Maybe the Orioles are a sort of a dark horse in that regard.
But I'd take Mayo. He struggled last year at the big league level, but there's no way he's that bad at the big league level going forward.
Yeah, the Orioles wouldn't make a lot of sense. But like the Brewers aren't just going to trade the guy.
Correct. No, you got to have the right deal. Like I said, it's got to make sense, obviously, for the Brewers kind of going forward. Talking with Kurt Hoag, beat writer for the Milwaukee Brewers and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, out here at the 18th annual Fan and Kiss FM Toy Drive at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, trying to collect toys and cash donations for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest as we come up to the holidays and in the next year. They kind of rely on us to provide those toys, whether it be for Christmas time coming up here in the holidays, whether it be for a child having a bad day that's struggling throughout the year to break it up a little bit and put a smile on their face to kind of let them forget about everything that they're kind of going through and focus on being happy having that toy. It could be for birthdays. It could be for anything. And the other aspect of this to remember, as I always say, is not only does it put a smile on their face, but it also relieves some pressure from the parents as well, who feel horrible, can't control anything that's happening with their child, watching their child suffer whatever they're going through, and then to see their child smile in that moment, the parents themselves get teared up. They get a smile on their face because they see their child happy again for a little while if they are going through a bunch of stuff. It could be for when they check out of Children's Wisconsin, right? And they're healthy and they're going home and they're all done, and you give them a toy on the way out. That's what all of these toys are used for. And it's just such a big, big deal, and it means the world to me. It means the world to the people at Children's Wisconsin, and we love anything you could possibly donate between now and Friday at 6 p.m. For Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, or donate online at thefanmilwaukee.com. All right, Kurt Hoag, let's continue to talk about the Brewers. William Contreras is a guy that's still under team control for a while. Does it make sense for them to try to get ahead of this and try to extend him and kind of guarantee that he's going to be their catcher for the foreseeable future?
Sure. Takes two to
you
tango.
You were not very positive about
takes
that
two,
response.
I mean, it makes
I saw Kurt's face. You didn't. And I'm telling you, he wasn't sold on this.
It makes sense from a team perspective, right? He's, what, 25, 26?
Yep.
And the crazy thing about his profile is it feels like there's still something being left on the table offensively. I mean, he hits the ball as hard as almost anyone in the league. His swing decisions are pretty good. Like, he doesn't swing and miss a ton. Draws his walks. Like, it's all, you know, above average in just about every area. But, like, he hit the ball in the air a little more. And all of a sudden, you would be looking at, you know, maybe not the guy who is number five in MVP. Maybe look at the number guy who's number two or number three or number one in MVP. Like, that's what's in there. It is going to be very difficult at this point to lock up someone at that position with free agency. Not right on the doorstep, but
yeah, a couple years.
It's not far away. So, I mean, he's going to be staring down a very, very, very lucrative contract in free agency in a few years. And, you know, who knows? It all depends from player to player. Like, the Brewers had these discussions with Willy Adames. But then as he sort of progressed through the years, him and his camp
the
started to see
the owner of the team halfway through the year said, well, with the year he's having now, you pretty much kiss that goodbye.
That I wouldn't call that great PR.
Oh my God!
But that's how inevitable it became when you know that camp starts to see the Dansby Swanson deals and the Javi Baez, like all these shortstop contracts that blew up in recent years, Trevor Story and whatnot, and you know the Brewers made their offers and. He wants a certain number, and the Brewers aren't going to go there. So that's probably the most likely case here again, is signing Contreras to an extension. He said he's open to it in the past, but obviously that's, you know, telling a reporter that is one thing, and
doing it is
doing
another.
Doing it is another.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I'm sure he'll enjoy a Dodgers uniform because that's, I'm sure, where he'll end up with Soto and everybody else. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Christian Yelich.
Sure.
Where should we be as a fan base right now with expectations? I mean, he keeps talking about, oh, this should fix my back. We should be good now, kind of going forward.
Yeah.
I have known many people with back issues in their lives. They don't ever go away. We can have surgery. We can do all this. But once you have a back issue, you're always going to have a back issue. I don't know anybody that had a back issue, had surgery, and never had a back issue again. So I'm skeptical that he's going to be good for this upcoming season. If he is, and if he plays like he did in the first half last year, that's a huge boost to this offensive lineup.
Yeah. It's keeping it manageable with him. That's what it's always been in the last few years, is managing the back.
Give him his days off.
And with this surgery, is the management going to be easier? Is it going to be more successful? Because when he's healthy, we've seen it the last 2 years, like these pockets of the year where he's clearly just locked in and he feels good, he's still one of the best hitters in baseball.
He looked awesome.
I don't want to undersell that fact. I think he'll probably get some more days at DH if you kind of look at the outfield picture this year. Maybe that'll help with the health. But, yeah, this spring, that's the other thing. Like, spring training, sometimes you kind of got to fabricate some storylines to
get
along with the team. Yeah. But there's legitimate things to watch for this year. How is Yelich moving? How is he swinging? How is he running? How does he look during drills, during outfield drills, batting practice? How many days off does he need? All these little things will start to give us a little better picture of how he's feeling. Because, yeah, the word from the Brewers and from him is, okay, we'll get this thing in the past, we'll move on, and hopefully be fully healthy, get this back issue in the rearview mirror. But like you said, back issues, especially when it involves nerves in a way that his does, they don't always, that does not always go away.
Nope.
But if you can find a way to get him healthy for 140 games a year, that's still one of the, like, you're looking at a really good lineup with Churio, Contreras, and Yelich.
No question. Middle of the lineup that will put fear in pitchers when they have to deal with them. Chemistry-wise, I am wondering how this is going to play, because Willy Adames is a big chemistry guy, I think, for that clubhouse. Pat Murphy, first year, rally the troops, you know, dad-sons type deal relationship, however that plays out. Chemistry is such a big deal to a team overachieving at some point. And if you don't have great chemistry, hard to overachieve. If you don't have great chemistry and you have a ton of talent, maybe you don't achieve as much as you should achieve because everybody's not pulling in the same direction. Any concerns about how this team goes going forward chemistry-wise without Adames, Pat Murphy's second year, after they've heard a lot of Pat Murphy rhetoric for a year?
I mean, I think it'll be fine, right?
I think Willy Adames
will be gone. Wade Miley's another one that's going to be gone. But the Brewers will still have most of the team from last year together. And sort of the way that they operate is putting a premium on the feel in the clubhouse, the people in the room, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you never know going into a certain year. Like, there are questions. Well, who's going to step up in these certain roles? Like, how does Jackson Churio fit in now that he's not the 20-year-old rookie? He's a superstar now. He's the guy who no longer has William Contreras and Willy Adames yanking him out to go take batting practice. He's got to be in a different role this year. Bryce Turang, the same thing. If there's young infielders or whatever coming up, Bryce Turang's the guy that you look up to now.
Absolutely.
And for the most part, like, these guys have just, like, part of what makes them great is their work ethic. They have a lot of good workers on this team, so that's why I'm not concerned about it. But, yeah, you never know exactly how the pieces of the puzzle are going to fit in year after year. And like you said, too, year two under Pat Murphy, it's definitely a very bold, in-your-face, what-you-get-is-what-you-get approach, and it certainly worked with last year's group. It's worked for him I mean, pretty much throughout his coaching and managerial career. But what if they're losing? That's just one question that you might have. I don't know the answer to it, but we'll see.
I love Pat Murphy. You deal with Pat Murphy.
It's an experience. It's great for the writers.
I got to witness him at a kids' clinic he did a few weeks ago, and my kid was part of it.
Over at the Mosh?
Yep.
Yeah.
So my kid was out on the field, and he came over, hair disheveled, the whole deal. And he's like, all right, what do y'all want to talk about? Q&A, let's go, parents. It's got to be baseball related, but if you have any questions about youth baseball, whatever the case may be, and they're asking him about arm care and pitches and all. Man, he was so good.
Yeah.
Like, he went through, before everybody got on the field, he went to every kid in line and parent, introduced himself, asked how the kid was, yeah, what does he play, blah, 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 and took the time to do all of that. Now, again, maybe Council did stuff like this. I don't remember it. I don't remember Ned or Renicky doing stuff like this. But to me, do you know how much of an impression you make on a kid that, I mean, my kid's 8.
Yeah.
8 years old, 9 years old, and they get to meet a big league manager and all of that and have that interaction. Not to mention the parents and the interaction that they have and what they get from it. It was just a huge, huge deal. And, I mean, that's something I'll never forget, being a part of that and watching Murphy interact with everybody and not being, you know, I'm up here, you all down here. Hey, thanks everybody for coming. And then he stands on the field and doesn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
That's not what that was. He was awesome.
Yeah, there are different ways you can definitely go about hosting like your own clinic, yes, like that. And I mean, that's the Murphy we do see as reporters in the clubhouse every single day. And
he's a smart aleck. Yeah, he pokes fun.
Exactly. And it comes from a place, if you think he cares, like, about those 8-year-old kids to get to know him, like, now what about the guys he's with every
exactly
day? They really get together toward one goal, and that's why, like, chemistry is always so hard to figure out. Like, determining a manager's impact is impossible to quantify, and but over the course of the year, like, there was just something about this Brewers team as you watch them up close every day where it's like, how are they doing this? Well, it's got to be something to do with, like, the guy in that room and how the players respond to him. I don't know how you put a number on it. I don't even know how you really describe it, but it felt like it was a real qualification of this team.
No question. And I think Council most years was – with awesome with that too, getting everybody to pull in the same direction
just
and
just
buy
different
in
guys.
Different guys,
different ways
but,
of doing it,
but figuring out how to do it, you know, in his own way. And I think that's what made Council as good as he was in Milwaukee. Look at me, I'm not even calling him a traitor today. Why? Because I'm at the toy drive. I'm trying to be nicer.
That's so nice.
I'm trying to be nicer.
What a good man.
Spirit.
Come Monday, he's a traitor again. Okay, Kurt Hoke, thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
First toy drive, right?
First toy drive in this beautiful sunroom.
Bare sunroom,
can
yeah
we just pick this up and
move it to your house?
Transport it a few miles that direction?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, why not? There he is, Kurt Hoge, Milwaukee Brewers beat writer.